that was Standby off a creative project called Lost and Found. And Jeremy Little of that project is joining me tonight on Dangerfield. So, Jeremy, we're going to spend the next hour kind of talking through this pretty cool story of this album and how it came to be. Before we get into kind of the whole process of it, so the song that we just heard, the people featured on it, so it's yourself, Aaron Goldstein was on Pedal Steel, and the singers were Mike Filipovich and Audrey Bankley. So the kind of cool thing about this song is that the vocals were recorded in 2005, and then the instrumentation was done in 2020. You know, there's a 15-year gap between those two, and so it's a kind of a cool story. So can you take us a little bit through how you kind of made a song that has 15 years apart in the vocals and the instrumentation? So, what made you do this? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure, absolutely. Well, it's kind of a longer story, which starts, during this lockdown of the pandemic. I was, living in my house with my wife and my daughter, and my wife's sister and my brother-in-law, and my two nieces were here from New York. They came for March break and ended up staying here for the first 6 months of the pandemic. And that's a story unto itself. But during I guess the springtime, I had stumbled across old parts of my studio and kind of found some old DVDs with old backed up material, stuff that I was working on from 2005, and basically ended up loading it onto my newer computer and kind of finding these lost, songs that had been started, and decided to, start this project during the pandemic to kind of finish this music that I started with this guy named Michael Filipovich, who wrote them and, wrote a lot of these songs, and kind of just finish it as a project to keep myself busy, and then send it to him as a gift, as a surprise, to kind of put a smile on his face, so to speak.
Right, and
So that's
so talk a little bit about how you know Mike. So it was Mike you played with in Burnt Nielsen Band, correct?
correct. Yeah, so we started the band together in 1995, and we made, I think it was four records, and toured Canada about, ooh, coast to coast, I would say over 20 times, and playing well over 1,000 shows.
Wow.
So we have definitely quite the extensive music history together, making music and living together in a van and hotels and different houses across the country
And
for
so
multiple
the
years.
original, so Mike recorded these songs with you in 2005. And so he, I guess, so you mentioned that he hadn't actually heard them until you kind of surprised him with the completed album. So the timeline of the album, so it sounds like you found the demos in March. And then did you bring them immediately to have other people play on them, or did you work on them yourself for a little bit and then involve people, or what was that process like?
Yeah, so I spent the first probably 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks with it, just kind of by myself, basically kind of sorting through what I had, and a lot of it was mostly Mike's voice and acoustic guitar, and some were a little more realized, but the majority of it was acoustic and vocals. And basically, I spent that first chunk of time, adding what I could add myself. So either, playing some bass or programming some, electronic drums, or playing a little bit of synth. I had a Moog at home, so I can do that. And then basically kind of using, the GarageBand on my phone to help flush it out and kind of, see what I could come up with, kind of thing. And, that went on for about, as I said, about 6 to 8 weeks. And I kind of took it as far as I could go on my own. And then I started reaching out, to different players to see, you know, if they wanted to participate and if they wanted to add a bit of their flavor kind of thing. So in the case of this song Standby that we were just talking about, or that you were just talking about and we just listened to, you know, I reached out to Aaron, you know, to see if he could add some, you know, pedal steel, you know, out, you know, Aaron is a cousin of mine, and you know, we've never really done anything musically together, although we've talked about it. I thought it was a good opportunity to, you know, to reach out and see if he could, you know, add some of his styling to that song. And, you know, cool. It came out great.
Well, kind of speaking of Aaron, why don't we listen to track 2 off that album? The song's called Time the Healer. So Aaron Goldstein, who's your cousin, who actually also has a great recording studio called Gold Standard Recorders. He used to own a studio called Baldwin Street Sound, and he's just moved into his new space. So I encourage people to check him out as well. So let's listen to Time the Healer off of your creative project, Jer, called Lost and Found. And for those who want to check out Lost and Found, you can find it at lostandfoundthealbum.bandcamp.com. So let's listen to Time the Healer, and we'll come back and we'll chat. Healer off of a new creative project by Jeremy Little and Mike Filipovich. And Jeremy joins me tonight on Dangerfield on 101.5 FM The Hawk. So, Jerry, you mentioned that, you know, so the song that we just heard, we're talking a little bit about this amazing creative project that Jeremy worked on, where, you know, he found demos from about 15 years ago and then spent the pandemic reworking them and then surprising the gentleman who had started making those demos with him. That's a pretty cool story. So before we talked about, you know, how you reached out to players. So we mentioned you talking about reaching out to Aaron Goldstein, and you got quite a great group of folks to work on this album. Some of the names include Peter Elkis, Mike O'Brien, Carla Nicholson, and Neil Quinn from Zeus. Let's talk about the song Postcards. So Postcards features the gentleman from Zeus. So Carlin, Mike, and Neil are all on backup vocals. And Carlin actually played a bit of a key role in this process as well, in that he mixed the album at his place, Pine Chip Studios. So tell us a little bit about the song Postcard. So that has Kieran Adams also on drums, but back in from 2005. So what was this song? What did this song mean to you? And what was this all about?
Yeah. This song was, as you mentioned, started in 2005. What was tracked then was just Mike's acoustic and vocals. And Kieran played some drums. I remember I did a session where Kieran came over to the apartment that I was living in on Dunave at that time in 2005. And we did a bunch of takes on a bunch of Mike's songs. And this is one of the songs I didn't even remember that Kieran actually did a take on. So when I found this song, I was pleasantly surprised that I had this. And this was actually the first song that I started working on, you know, during the pandemic in 2020, like in the spring of 2020. It was the first song that I actually played some bass on, and it was the first song I actually sent out, you know, for other players to play on, and, you know, more specifically to send it to Aaron to play some pedal steel on. So, you know, definitely it was the first song to really get this process going. You know, it was a very natural process, you know, to kind of give it the country flavor that it has now. As well, you know, it was definitely one of the only songs that we added vocals to, you know, in 2020 as compared to stuff that was all tracked originally in 2020.
Oh, really?
All the singing was done. It was all Mike's, you know, yeah, some people will call it, you know, ghost tracks, just kind of singing just to get the ideas out kind of thing. But, you know, the song Postcards, it was a song that I felt like it needed a little bit of harmony or a little bit of something else to add to, you know, the flavor of the song. So I sent it to, you know, to Carla Nicholson to see if he had any ideas. And, you know, not only did he have some ideas, but, you know, he played some piano on the song, as well as, you know, he ended up, you know, coming up with this backup part that he came up with while he was in the studio with Mike and Neil, you know, while they were working on their own record. They did a couple things for me on this, and, you know, it came out fantastic. It's really great kind of thing.
Nice. Well, why don't we listen to that song and then we'll come back.
Sure.
This is Postcards off the album Lost and Found.
That I've given, should I come back?
Postcards off the album Lost and Found. Jeremy Little joins me tonight. If you want to listen to these songs, you can find them at lostandfoundthealbum.bandcamp.com. So right now there is the first single up on the site there that you can preview, which we heard at the top of the show, called Stand By. And the full album is coming out this Friday on December 3rd. And that it's actually also Bandcamp Friday on Friday. So if you want to support and buy the album, 100% of the proceeds go directly to the artist on what are called Bandcamp Fridays, which are the first Friday of each month. So, Jeremy, what's it been like for you? Like, we were roommates back in, what was it, early 2000s or something like that?
Yeah, I think we lived together from about 2002 to 2005, I would say, roughly. You know?
Right.
I think for about 3 years.
Yeah, and I remember that, I remember in our first house on Crawford, like, you recording music there, and what's it been like for you? Like, I remember kind of the laboriousness of it, of recording songs to kind of PC computers, and what's kind of been like for you with technology now, and how things are a little more instant. And so can you talk a little bit about like how you've seen kind of technology advance and how that's impacted kind of the work that you do?
Yeah, absolutely. I think technology has advanced quite a bit, and actually advanced, past me, to be quite honest. Like, there was a time, where I was, I was definitely more active in recording and the recording, bands that I was playing in or other bands kind of thing. And when I moved, into the house I live in now, I live in Leslieville, and it's been, 14 years since I've been living here. I was recording in my basement here, and I had my studio set up, but I had a bunch of floods in my basement. So I ended up, kind of packing up that equipment because I was having this flood issue. And I would kind of just either sold off some pieces, or I gave pieces to either Carlin to his studio or to Elkis for his studio. I kind of moved things around. So at the time I kind of, moved on from that. And then, to be quite honest, like, I ended up going on the road around the same time, joining Jason Collette's band in 2007 or 2008. And that was kind of around the time when these floods were happening. And I ended up kind of going on tour and, playing in his band for a couple of years. And then from there, I jumped into, being Zeus's tour manager. And then I was touring with them for a couple of years. And so I never really kept going with the recording process. So, technology was advancing, but I really wasn't doing any recording myself, just busy doing other things on the road. And then, after a bunch of years of doing that, I kind of, came home and didn't really ever set it up kind of thing. I was just, doing work at other people's studios here and there. So technology moved way past me. And, I never really caught up, and I wasn't actually recording anymore. Like I was really focusing on just playing, you know, my bass and, you know, kind of honing, you know, my craft a bit, I guess, kind of thing. I really just focused, you know, back to playing because I was doing so much, you know, live sound, you know, front house work and tour managing. So I was really not doing any recording until, you know, I stumbled upon, you know, these old recordings and, you know, had to figure out a way to like bring myself up to speed to be able to do this type of recording. And, you know, that process in and of itself, you know, was quite challenging and quite cumbersome. When I found, you know, these, you know, DVDs with all this backed up material, I had no studio, you know, to work on. So I had to like, you know, I ended up finding my old Cubase, you know, programs and loading that up into my new computer and then, you know, trying to record right to my computer without any, you know, sound card or, you know, input converters or anything like that. So I ended up having to like just use on this project, I was using just like an iRig that I could plug my bass into my phone and I was recording to GarageBand and, you know, bouncing WAV files through, you know, Dropbox to my computer and back and forth. So, you know, I was doing something quite primitive in the recording process for this album kind of thing. I really, you know, I'm quite behind technology right now, you know.
Has it sparked you kind of to want to do more of this now that you kind of, like, I found that since the pandemic happened, like a lot of people kind of started creative projects that they may not have started before. And so has this led you want to do more of this then?
Absolutely. I definitely will. But I also find that like, I will not like try to bring myself up to speed with technology. I feel like I have a system that kind of works.
Yeah.
I know how to use it. It, you know, it checks all the boxes. It completes, you know, whatever is the goal of that song or anything like that. So that it allows me to kind of complete that idea. And then also by reaching out to other friends, so either, you know, mix in their studios or have other people add stuff, it's quite easy to send things between right. people, you know, to add or subtract from kind of thing.
So Jared, there's another song off this upcoming album and it's called Open Fields and Skies. And so it's kind of interesting because how this album set up on Bandcamp is you have it's a sneak peek up there right now of Standby, but you're going to have it laid out where it's kind of your side of your lyrics and then it has your kind of synopsis of what the song means to you, and then Mike, who you surprised the album with from his original demos that you made the album from, he kind of comments on each of them. And so, you know, unfortunately we couldn't have him on the show tonight because he lives in Thailand or Taiwan and there's Taiwan. a bit of a time difference. But I encourage people on Friday when the full album comes out to check out the Bandcamp page because it's really cool how you set it up where you speak about what you thought of the songs and then he kind of talked about what it was like hearing them and then also what the songs meant to him at the time. So when we talk about the song Open Fields and Skies, it's a song that Mike says that he said of all the songs in the recording, it's the one he plays the most. And I remember that, like, I remember when he would play acoustic live in Toronto, you know, that was a song he played a lot. And, but it's, you've got done a really cool thing with it. So the Pete Elkist is a really cool guitar solo on it. And I think Mike O'Brien is also playing on that, Mike from Zeus. Can you take us a little bit through what that song recording process was like for you?
Yeah, sure. That song was definitely took the most work. It was the most hours involved to get that song just to be right and to feel right. I was always conscious of the vibe and the groove of that song just being a certain way that it ended up kind of thing. When first working on the song, you know, the first thing I remember hearing when I was pulling up these old tracks from 2005, there was this really kind of delicate, you know, finger picking guitar part and it was well played and it was very nice, but it just wasn't happening for me. And then I ended up kind of scrolling through some of these, closed muted tracks, and finding, some other, acoustics that Mike had recorded, in 2005. And they were more of like a kind of, sounding like a train, kind of like a palm muted kind of chugging acoustic guitar track, which is what I kind of based the rest of the vibe of the song on. And it was really inspiring, just the rhythm that he was playing. It's kind of, inspired all the other things to come. So, I programmed this kind of traditional, drum beat with like kind of like brushes, kind of like a train beat. And then I played, my bass part, trying to, accentuate more of that rhythmic chugging sound that you kind of hear in the song, but with more intent of a lead instrument, and then kind of building from there. And then it kind of developed the vibe of the song. I remember sending it over to Mike O'Brien, and, I wanted him to play this like kind of guitar solo at the end of the song. And when he sent back his parts, he didn't end up playing his guitar solo. He ended up just doing a little bit of an electric rhythm throughout the entire song to kind of add to this groove. And, I was very pleasantly surprised. I wasn't expecting it, but it was quite a nice part that really added a lot to the flavor of the song. And then, last but not least, I ended up sending it to Peter Elkis. I was like, Pete, would you try and do this, slide guitar outro, some kind of guitar mini part? I hear you here, just you doing your thing in this section. Just feel free to do whatever you want. And he did. And he layered all these, slide harmonies together and made a great outro for that song. And I find it, fantastic. But when we were mixing the song, me and Carlin were having a really hard time getting it all to, mesh together. And, to this right vibe. I kept saying to him, it's like, something's off, the groove is off, the vibe is off. We just could never get there. We got a couple mixes, down, but it just wasn't happening. Every time I'd go home and listen to it, I'm just like, it's missing something. So right around Christmas time, I ended up, scrapping the original drums that I had programmed and redid the entire programmed drum beat and programmed something completely different. And then I, sent Carlin a message saying, we've got to remix this song. And I brought in this whole new part. And then on Boxing Day, we got together and I brought in this new drum beat and we remixed the song. And it just like totally came together really easily after that. And it just now has this great steady groove to it, kind of thing.
Cool. I'm
really proud of it, kind of thing.
Well, let's listen to that. Let's listen to Open Fields and Skies, and then we'll come back and we'll chat.
Great.
Sitting all alone, my schoolmate stone, the keys missed from my home. Believe
That was Open Fields and Skies off the creative project called Lost and Found. And Jeremy Little joins me tonight from that. You can find this music online as of Friday at lostandfoundthealbum.bandcamp.com. That's Friday, December 3rd. There's a sneak peek of one song off the album now up on the site. Now, how did you come up with the order of the album? Like, so this song, so there's 9 songs in total in the album. We've heard not all of them tonight, but some of them. How did you come up with the order?
You know, as we were mixing it, it kind of, you know, pretty much presented itself pretty easily, you know. Like the first song, Stand By, was, you know, obvious to me right from the beginning. Just the way the song opens up, it's kind of like, seems like you're going on a bit of an adventure right off the top. And, you know, the lyrical content too is, you know, very inspiring about life being on standby. And that's exactly how, you know, I felt when, you know, making this, you know, record. And I'm sure, you know, many other people, you know, hopefully when they listen to that, they can relate to that. So it was like the obvious message that I wanted to come across first on the album. And then, you know, as we worked our way through the songs, it was just trying to link songs together, because I felt like some of the songs, depending on where we were in the record, didn't, you know, work so well side by side, like one after the other. So it was finding songs to link from one song to the next. So to find a similarity between those two songs, and then kind of step from there to the next and find like a linking instrument or a linking, you know, sound, either by, you know, adding like a certain type of reverb, you know, just, you know, or a certain instrument, you know, to really, you know, link the song from song to song.
Cool.
That was really important when, you know, sequencing the record, for sure.
Awesome. So Jerry, we were talking before about kind of, you know, the fact that the songs from this album, there were demos from 2005, you brought them up to speed with getting a new artist to play on them, and then surprising your creative partner there, Mike, with the completed album, which was really cool. There was a story that you told me about Carlin from Zeus, who did some work in, and he did something with like a drum. Can you talk about that? What song was that off of?
Sure. So Carlin, you know, by the end of this process of me tracking, I really thought, you know, I took it as far as I could on my own and really wanted someone else to mix it, kind of thing. So, you know, Carlin was, you know, awesome to work with and awesome to talk to about, you know, this project. And he was really inspired by this idea that I was making this record as a gift for Mike, and that he, and that Mike was unaware this was going on while Mike, you know, is living in Taiwan, you know, oblivious to what is happening, right, you know, and what was being worked on. So he was really interested in that. So the first song that he mixed is a song on the record called Still Has a Place in My Heart. And it was, you know, drums that were recorded in my apartment in 2005. And, you know, at the time, it was actually the first time I ever set up mics around a drum set to record. So when it came time to mixing, you know, Carlin was happy with the drum sound and what was happening, but he really wished I had tracked, you know, had a microphone set up under the bottom of the snare, which is what some call an undersnare mic, to, you know, capture more of a crisp tone. And in order, you know, so when he was mixing it, he really wanted that. So what he did was, on his system, he sent the signal of the snare drum that was recorded, you know, out of his system, and basically plugged that signal into an amplifier, and then laid that amplifier on its back so the speaker was facing up. He then took a snare drum and flipped it upside down to lay it on top of the speaker with the, you know, the exposed snare facing upwards, and then put a microphone on top of it. So the signal of the original snare being played from the recording was triggering, you know, going through the amplifier, the speaker would vibrate, which would trigger a snare hit that caused the snares to rattle. And then the microphone would be picking up that sound.
Wow.
So he was, you know, getting the understanding and then recording it and bringing it back into the system. So it was amazing. I have a video of him doing it, and it's amazing. You know, I'm sure it's been done before, but just to see it happening and to know that can happen, is
that's
it made
incredible.
The song sound fantastic. And
And that really was Carlos Jesus, and he's got a studio called Pine Ship Sounds. So let's listen to that song, Still Have a Place in My Heart. And keeping that in mind, that's a really cool thing. And the other players on this song were, it was originally Mike Filipovich and Kieran Adams in 2005, along with Jeff Hayscholt and Scott Farmer, who was a Burt Nielsen band member as well. So Jeff on organ and Scott on piano. So let's listen to that.
I know I look different, I swear I'm the same. Took some convincing, remember my name. Like it's so good to see you, it's been such a while. Now you're right here beside me, like nothing has changed. It's time.
that will still have a place in my heart, off the creative project, Lost and Found. And it's kind of neat because we were talking before, Jer, about how you know you're not catching up with certain parts of technology, and so I know that you know you've got the Bandcamp Lost and Found, the album.bandcamp.com. I want to play. I think this is one of my favorite songs. I mean, there's a lot of really great songs on this album, but I was listening to this one a lot this past weekend. And it's interesting because I was listening to it and I didn't realize until I was kind of reading up on it that is actually the only song that it's just the four Bert Nilsson band members. And so it's Mike on acoustic, it's yourself, and it's Gavin McGuire and Jeff Hayschultz, who have actually went on and played. Gavin played in The Trues for a bit. Jeff is still in that band right now. And, you know, it's funny because I just got this beautiful kind of crescendo in it that just is really, it's really rock and roll. I love it. I read that you played that, you did that at Peter Elkis' studio. Is that correct?
Well, the drums were recorded there. Okay. You know, this song is one of those ones that, you know, was totally forgotten. Like, I didn't even remember this song. And even when I played it for Mike, it's one of those ones that Mike forgot that we had started. And when I started working on this, it was one of those ones that were a little more, you know, let's call it rock focused than the other songs. And I knew it needed some drums. I was working on it. I had some ideas. So I was, you know, just kind of working on my own, I'm literally working on my iPhone 6, trying to program a drum beat in GarageBand. And, you know, I'm like, okay, I got an idea, but like, you know, I'm not a drummer. And, you know, Gavin McGuire is just such a fantastic drummer. And so I reached out to Gavin, and at the time Gavin had relocated from Toronto to Windsor to help, you know, take care of his parents earlier on in the pandemic. They were, you know, needing some support. And I reached out to Gav and I was like, Gav, do you have GarageBand on your phone? And he's like, no. And I was like, well, you got to put GarageBand on your phone. I'm going to share you the session and you're going to write. And can you please write a drum beat for the song? And I know you'll figure it out. And, you know, Gavin's, you know, definitely a purist. He's not the kind of guy to program stuff or, you know, make music on his phone, but he's a fantastic drummer. And he did it. He programmed this drum beat, this electronic drum beat. And it was fantastic. And it definitely inspired what I wanted to do with the bass afterwards and kind of everything else. It really, you know, the song took off from there, from this beat that he programmed. And when Gavin got back to Toronto sometime later in the summer, I got him to go by Pete's studio, and him and Pete set up the mics on the drums. And, you know, Gavin ended up, you know, redoing his drums as a live drum part. And that's what you hear on the record. And it really is a great take, and it's just a great beat, and it just makes the song rock for sure.
Cool. Well, let's listen to that now. This is Little Things.
Thank you.
things off the album Lost and Found. So, Jer, we talked about how the story of this album is really, really cool in that, you know, it was a surprise gift for Mike, who did the demos with you of the album, you know, 15 years ago. I think that you've written out the story really well on your Bandcamp page, Lost and Found, the album.bandcamp.com, where you really kind of take us through what the process and what the story meant to you. Can you tell us, like the listeners, just a little bit about that, like why this was so important to you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was definitely, you know, and the first, I think like a lot of people in the beginning of the pandemic, a lot of us weren't sure what we were doing. And a lot of people were, you know, definitely looking for things to do to keep their minds busy and keep them, you know, try to find some normalcy, you know, just to keep their days moving. And when I found this, you know, like when I just, every time I listened to the song list that I found, I was really inspired by Mike's lyrics, like, you know, and how they related, you know, to these lockdown times, you know, like songs about, you know, isolation and reflection. It really, you know, struck me. And, you know, and when finding this, I was like, man, I got to just finish this record, you know, without Mike knowing, and send it to him as a gift and reconnect with somebody that I've totally lost connection with. And, you know, I thought there was no better way than to, like, you know, make an album for only to make this album to give it to him as a present and be like, right, here, man, enjoy this. And, you know, that, you know, with the most, you know, honest intentions kind of thing.
And that was kind of a neat process, because I was a part of that, in that the three of us did a Zoom call. And I remember, like, you totally surprised him. And so we actually played the song by song, and watched him in real time kind of receive and hear these songs that he, some of which he'd forgotten about, and some which he remembered, but could never have thought that they'd be reimagined in this way. So that was a really special moment.
It was, and I can't thank you enough for that moment. It was really special, you know, to, like, you know, it's basically like watching somebody, you know, unwrap a birthday gift or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And seeing her reaction.
And it's
either going to be great, or it's going to be maybe disappointing and not the gift that you wanted.
Kind of thing.
So, like, you know, that unknown aspect, and, you know, and me being able to, with you being able to watch him, you know, receive this and watch him react, was like very satisfying.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that was really like, okay, great. That was the end of it for me. You know, like, mm-hmm. It was like, oh, this, I made this, I gave this to him, I saw him experience it and listen to it and enjoy it, and, you know, time to move on. But the reality of that is, you know, as time moves on, you know, from that moment, you know, us trying to work together to see, you know, how this is, you know, going to be now presented and shared with the masses, you know, was a whole other story. Right. So, mm-hmm. You know, that's, you know, probably the second, you know, part two to the story, which I'm still trying to finish, is, you know, the dynamic between the two of us as we try to, you know, roll this out to the masses is, you know, you know, it has its, you know, high points and its low points, obviously, you know.
Right.
So
awesome. Well, mm-hmm. I think we're coming up on time, Jer. It was a really great pleasure having you on tonight.
Yeah, thanks, Mara.
And so I look forward to everyone hearing this. And so you have a good night, Kay, Jer.
You as well. Thank you.
Broadcasting from Hamilton at 101.5 megahertz. This is CIOI FM, The Hawk.
Not gonna lie, I've been caught up. Not gonna lie, it's been a long year. There are things you never got to say. We won't let it be that way. I'm not gonna lie, I'm glad we're both here. Stand up! to be.